Hello, London. We are ready for your vote.
Hello, I'm Stephen Perkins, and this is Douzepoint, your weekly Eurovision podcast from the team behind Bingewatch, keeping a close eye on the contest in the run-up to Malmö 2024. Now that the national finals are over, and Liam and I have had our extensive conversations about this year's 37 contenders in the last two episodes, we're going to go back to our regular schedule. So, every other week I'm going to be doing a deep dive into the history of the contest, and in those alternate weeks we will be having a quick roundup of the latest headlines, and that's what I'm going to be doing this week, so it will be a short but sweet one from me this time. First of all, I thought it would be fun to take a look at the betting odds as they stand currently. Because what's really exciting now that we've moved out of the national final season is that we are into the pre-contest promo phase. There's a lot of performances going on, which means we're hearing a lot of the internally selected songs live for the first time, and that's giving us a much clearer idea of who the frontrunners are for this year's contest. The big news is, following a few absolutely barnstorming live performances of The Code by Nemo, Switzerland have now moved into first place with the bookies. I think the big if with this song when we first heard the studio version was that it was very vocally demanding and it might have been difficult to perform live, but Nemo has shown that they can absolutely deliver on that front, and I think the juries are going to be very impressed with them, so Switzerland are definitely the ones to beat at this stage. But of course, there's still a lot to play for. Currently, Croatia's Baby Lasagna is still hanging in there in second place with Rim Tim Taggy Dim, and the rest of the top five across the UK's bookmakers is made up of Italy's Angelina Mango, Ukraine's Alyona Alyona and Jerry Heil, and Netherlands' Joost Klein. So it does feel like a very open field this year, which is extremely exciting. And if you're wondering whereabouts the United Kingdom is sitting currently, we are in 13th position, nestled between Lithuania and Finland. And as the momentum builds towards this year's contest, there's been some really good news for several of the artists taking part who have already started conquering the charts across Europe. Lithuania's Sylvester Belt has spent a long stint at number one in his home country with Luktelk, while the Netherlands' Joost Klein has managed to clock up number ones in both Netherlands and Belgium with Europapa. He's also broken two streaming records on Spotify, one for the highest number of daily streams for a Dutch language song at 1.7 million, and the highest daily streams on Spotify Netherlands at 1.3 million. Other chart toppers this year include Greece's Marina Sati, who has made it to number one in Greece, and Marcus and Martinez from Sweden, who have scored a number one in Sweden with Unforgettable, as well as hitting the top 30 in their home country of Norway. There have also been lots of contestants managing to rack up top 10 hits in their home countries too. Croatia's Baby Lasagna, Belgium's Musti, Finland's Windows 95 Man, Italy's Angelina Mango, and Spain's Nebulosa. Now, if anybody listening is lucky enough to be heading to Sweden in May for the contest, the city of Malmö has announced its full schedule of events taking part in the Eurovision Village. That's going to be situated in Folkets Park, which is about half an hour's walk from the central station, and there will be three stages, the Euphoria stage, the Tattoo stage, and the Dancing Queen stage. Some of the treats in store include a sneak preview of Joyride, the Roxette jukebox musical, Sweden's 2009 representative Malena Ernman, also known as Greta Thunberg's mum, performing with a Malmö magical gospel group, and also performances from Conchita Wurst, Go A, and US dance music sensation Robin S. And finally, France have hinted that they could be looking at a return to a national final for their future Eurovision selections. They haven't used this method since 2022, when the French public selected Alavan and Ahé with the Breton song Foulaine, which finished 24th in Turin. Since then, they've been internally selecting their representatives, with Lazara's Évidemment in 2023 and Slimane's Mon Amour selected for this year. However, in an interview with the French language radio station Europe 1, France TV's Alexandre Red Amiel said that the broadcaster hadn't ruled out returning to the national final format, saying, "We haven't completely abandoned the idea. When you get an artist like Slimane, we say to ourselves that it would be interesting to put the national selection on hold for now. But I still have a lot of desire to reflect on what a national selection could look like. We could do it again at some point." Now, it might not exactly be breaking news, but this weekend, of course, marks the 50th anniversary of ABBA winning Eurovision in Brighton in 1974 with Waterloo, and there is a whole heap of commemorative programming available both on BBC iPlayer and BBC Sounds if you'd like to check it out and relive some of those very happy memories. That's it for this week. I will be back with more news and a walk down Eurovision memory lane next time. Until then, be sure to check out our socials at bingewatch_pod on Twitter, and me, myself, and I at Stephen Perkins. Please do hit subscribe on your podcast platform if you haven't already done so to ensure you don't miss out on any of our future episodes. And of course, we're building up a pretty extensive back catalogue at this point, so if you are new to the show, why not go back and have a listen? There's loads of good stuff back there, I promise, including interviews with Eurovision legends Tina Carroll and Nikki French, and that's just for starters. Until next time, good night Europe, and good morning Australia.